Okay, that's Grace. I'm waiting for Nico to join, but I guess we can kind of just start without him. So welcome back, everybody, to the 1 Point Sports Podcast. Like we alluded to on Wednesday, this is the first installment of our Black Women in Sports segment. And I'm pretty sure if you guys keep up with the social media pages, our first guest is Grace Flowers. I'll kind of just let her introduce herself. So, Grace, you have the floor.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Again.
So, as you said, my name is Grace Flowers. I am an assistant academic counselor. I work at University of Illinois. I'm from Chicago. I did my undergrad at University of Missouri. So, to all my Missouri fans, M-I-Z. And I did my master's at University of Arkansas. And I'm just really blessed to be here with you all today.
Okay, let's get down to the questions.
Yes.
I'm kind of upset the last recording didn't sound good because I don't even know if I can replicate those questions. And Nico's not here, but oh well. We'll make it work. So, okay. Kind of just the first question I want to ask is kind of describe your job and what like a typical day will look for you. Like, obviously, we're in quarantine and people are kind of working from home right now. So, what would a regular day, if the circumstances were different, what would that look like?
Alrighty. So, my job as an assistant academic counselor, so basically, I kind of bring the words student and athlete together. Mm-hmm. So, I help my students find their love, their identity, and their passion outside of sports. So my biggest question I always ask my students that's very important to me is, if you didn't have a ball in your hand, what else would you love to do? So what else would you do if you weren't playing in football, you weren't doing basketball? What would you love? So most of the times when I ask those questions, it kind of triggers the student to help them start thinking about the other things that they're passionate about outside of the playing field. And once they figure that out, that's when it's time to put those educational pieces together and find a major that suits them so they can figure out their career path from there. And a typical day, usually my day is a large bulk of meeting with my students in the back. So during those meetings, we're checking in. It really depends on the student, but we're checking in. Mm-hmm. We're getting more in depth about their classes. We're trying to get some of them organized. Some, it might be working on study skills. Maybe it's troubleshooting issues that might have arisen with communicating with professors. They miss class sometimes when they're traveling. Right. So sometimes they have to figure out how they're going to make up certain assignments and certain exams. So I help step in and communicate with that. Mm-hmm. And we're just looking at their overall academic progress and just making sure they're good, making sure that they're good in life, that they're good mentally. Sometimes practice can get rough, workouts can get rough. So I'm just here to make sure they're doing well in general overall.
Okay, there's Nico finally joined.
Yay!
Get back, man. I mean, yeah.
Wow.
I'm gonna play with this dude today, man. Something just happened, man. So I'm in a bad mood. So let's get the ball rolling with a good guess.
All right. We're only a few questions in, so you didn't really miss too much. And so, Grace, to kind of piggyback off what you said, just a one-part question, actually. So is it tough to get some athletes to kind of look past the sport they're playing and kind of focus on the academics, kind of get them, like you said, you have to find out what they want to do besides sports, because we all know everybody can't go professionally, everybody doesn't make it. So is it tough to get them to kind of look past their sport and respect to the realization that they might not make it?
Well, it really depends on the student, but really when I kind of get to asking those questions, that's really what triggers the students to start thinking about things. So, like I said before, I never want to tell them, like, you know, you never want to crush a dream, especially if their dream is to go pro.
Right.
My job really is just to support, but I also love to help them think of a backup plan. So if you weren't playing in the league, what else would you do? And it doesn't have to be outside of football. It could be you love coaching. It could be you love sports psychology. Maybe you like athletic training. But sometimes you have to continue to build those relationships with those students and ask those questions, and those questions kind of help them trigger, like, maybe I really do love athletic training, or maybe I really do love science, maybe I can do something with science. So it really depends on the student. You have some students who come in and know exactly what they want to do.
Right.
Even though they're playing football, they kind of like, no, I really love business. I want to own my own business. So they go straight to it. Then we have others who sometimes we need a little bit of time to build a relationship for them to be able to trust me and for me to be able to kind of expand their mind on what else they would love to do outside of their sport.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense then. Nico, you got any questions? I know you're kind of late to the party.
I knew you was going to say something like that. I was just waiting on you. Yeah, so I wanted to ask you, you know, in dealing with everything currently going on, we know the current, you know, temperature of the nation right now, if you will. What are you telling your student-athletes, particularly your Black student-athletes, when it comes to these? Should they protest? Should they not? How should they go about using their platform? Is the athletic department trying to control the message coming out of these students? Because we tend to see both professionally and, you know, in amateurs that generally PR groups as well as athletic departments want to make sure that they remain either neutral or, you know, whether we like it or not, they want to control the message coming from their athletes.
Well, I'll just speak on my experience. The students that I have, I encourage them to use their voice. Use their voice to be an advocate, to do whatever they feel they need to do in order to support what they want to support. So I never discourage my students from going out to protest. I always tell them to be careful and be safe, but to just use their, if they want to post on social media, if they want to go out and protest, whatever they feel like they need to do to be a voice, I encourage them to do so. They have my full support. So I feel like they haven't experienced anything where no one told them they can't, especially with what's going on. This is like the best time that they have to use their social media, to use their student-athlete identity in order to advocate. So I feel like they've been doing that, and they have my full support in anything that they want to do.
Okay, I like that. Because I know we've seen at some other schools, I'm not going to call no names, but they're also in the Big Ten, where they've tried to limit what the student athletes say regarding everything going on. So it's interesting to watch how it's developing.
Very, very much so. It's big. I see a lot of schools that the athletes are finding their voice. And, you know, we all have Bleacher Report and ESPN. You see these different stories of a lot of the athletes who are really standing up and posting pictures and boycotting and doing these different things to show that they do have a voice. I fully support all of the things that they're doing.
So yeah, it's dope just seeing everybody, especially professional athletes, college athletes, understanding their platform and the impact they may have on people of their age, younger folk, and just people, really just the nation in general. So it's kind of a good thing just to see them use their platform for positivity and not necessarily being afraid of what repercussions may happen, even though there shouldn't be, but we know how that goes, so.
Yeah, it's always something, it feels like.
Remember the whole shut up and dribble thing.
Don't get me started on that.
Yeah, man. I was like, don't. That's a whole different podcast.
That's a whole nother episode. So then, the next question I would have, what pushed you to become an athletic academic counselor? Because obviously, from our first interview, that obviously the audio is bad, you explained to us, you explained to us your passion about sports and how you wanted to combine that with a career in the workplace. So out of all the options, obviously that's sports related. Not necessarily playing a sport, but front offices and things of that nature. What pushed you to become an academic advisor, among other things? Well, counselor, counselor.
No, you're good. So it's funny because you say there's so many different roles in sports. When I first started school, I kind of experimented everything. Mm-hmm. So I started mopping floors at women's basketball.
Oh, wow.
I got started in sports, and then I maneuvered my way into everything. I did marketing, Clearfield, tutoring, mentoring, and I really found even ticketing is interesting too. but I really love the academic piece because I love being able to put the student and the athlete, put those words together, mm-hmm. put sports and education, my two favorite things, together. And it's really the fact that I'm able to help the student walk on this journey that they're embarking on, their educational journey. So they're being an athlete, they're doing everything they want to do on the field, but outside of that, they're still growing, they're still learning and developing. So I have the chance to be a part of both experiences. I get to watch them grow on the field while I get to watch them grow as a student, as an adult, in everyday life. I honestly couldn't ask for anything better.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great way, especially if you tried it. It seemed like you tried a little bit of everything sports related.
For sure.
You definitely found your passion, it seemed like. So that's always a positive.
For sure. And I was definitely not good at sports, so I love watching my kids because they're so talented. I was not, not really athletic.
Before we move on,
it's actually pretty good, but
before we move on, now that you opened that door, what sport did you play?
I was actually really good at track and field. I was good at running. I was okay. a distance runner.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because there wasn't a lot of black girls running distance.
Right.
So I would find myself the only black girl sometimes. Me and my teammate, she would also run, but there were races where she could do other things. I was mostly distance. She could do sprints if she needed to. I was not. So
right.
my coach depended on me for those distance sprints. Mm-hmm. And I love doing it. I love track and cross country. I honestly, secret here, but I regret not running track in college. I regret it every single day.
Oh, wow.
I really wish I was. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I wouldn't have had the opportunities I had working in sports if I was, but mm-hmm. sometimes I think to myself the advantages I would have had if I was actually a student athlete in those shoes, if I actually took that chance and ran track. So,
right.
I don't want to get emotional and get on my soapbox, but I do think about
it. Let it all out. If you want to cry, you can cry.
Not today. I think I've had enough this week.
Okay, so what do you tell your students? You know, obviously, I said this last time, but you know, I'll repeat it. You know, when it comes to these black student athletes, there aren't many black faces in the spaces that they're in now. And so, when they get somebody like you, who's an advisor for them, you sort of remind a lot of students of home. You know what I'm saying? You may display some traits that make them feel more comfortable, et cetera, et cetera. So what do you do when they start coming to you with those problems that are off the field or something that they may have brought to other people within the department, but nothing's been done about, that could stem from academic problems to we're having problems with some racist events happening on campus. Nobody's doing anything about. They're just telling us, you know, just keep playing ball. Don't worry about it, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that's a good question. So I love the fact that I am an African-American woman in my field because that allows me to relate greatly with my students. Like I said, I did not play football and basketball, so I am not skilled in those areas, so I cannot relate in that way. But I can relate as far as what we're experiencing now because I am black. I do experience what's happening because of the color of my skin as well, whether I'm a football or basketball or an athlete in general. So I feel like that's a big thing, the trust piece. So like you said, reminding them of someone in their family, like their mom, their aunt, their sister. It's easier to trust someone when they remind you of someone that you know. And so with that, I love building those trusting bonds because then they know that I want them to succeed. They know that I deeply care so that I can help. I can advocate. I can at least try to find, even if it's something that I can't personally do, I can at least direct them to the right person or try to fight for them when they do need something, when they aren't finding what they need, if that makes sense.
It does.
Oh, no, that makes perfect sense. Because like Nico was saying, a lot of these kids in college, they kind of just want to be heard. But at the same time,
right.
Not saying this is how every college look at their student athletes or not even how each department is ran, but kind of just looking at the NCAA from a broad view, the athletes are kind of just looked at the way that they make their money. So like Nico said, when people tell them, don't worry about it, just play, they're kind of not looking at the athletes so much as a person. They're kind of looking at them as a commodity. So just someone with their face, their skin color, listening to them, I'm sure that helps tremendously.
It does, because my whole goal is to help them find an identity outside of just what they're doing. You are more than just an athlete.
Right.
You are your name. beyond you being on the field, there's so many great things you can do, so many people you can impact with your name. Mm-hmm. Not just you are a football player, you are a basketball player, you are more than that. That is just, that's just a benefit that you have, that you're able to play, but you're more than that. And that's why I want them to see, I want them to see beyond just what they're doing, beyond the money, beyond that stuff. It's so much more than that. Their voice means so much more.
You are your brand, everybody. You are your brand.
You are.
And so, like we said before, this this series is all about Black women in sports, them being able to talk about their experiences, their stories. So, kind of just, would you like to talk about kind of just some things you faced in being a Black woman in sports, just being in the athletic realm, also being a Black woman? So if you guys want to speak on what you've been through, some things you've seen, your experience with it, and then also the impact that you might have not only on your athletes, but other Black women that might be listening to this for some insight, or that might be doubting themselves, what's something you could speak on to kind of help them out?
Okay, good question. So one of the biggest things I think for a lot of women in general is just not being taken seriously. But as a Black woman, imagine you not being taken seriously sometimes, and then you being the only one in the room.
Right.
So there might be other women in the room with you, but it might not be as many, it might be one or two. And then on top of that, you're the only Black woman in the room. Mm-hmm. So that's a battle within itself, because I'm working extra hard. I'm putting in extra time, extra effort to make sure that I am on my P's and my Q's, that I know everything going on, because I cannot look like I don't know, because they already think I don't know. They already think I don't know what I'm doing. They already think that I'm ignorant, but I'm not.
Right.
So that's one thing. It's like an extra battle, because you're always trying to prove yourself, even though you know you have the ability to do it. You have staff that supports you, but it's still the matter of always trying to prove, always trying to be better than the other person because they don't think you're better.
Right.
So that's one thing I think we experience. And then kind of that glass ceiling of not, maybe not being able to rise in a department or rise in certain jobs. I'm still growing, so I'm still young. I'm still in just the very beginning, but I know one day I want to be a director of football. And I know that there's going to be departments that might not want to hire me because I'm a Black woman, or they might not want to hire me because they think, not only I'm a Black woman, but I might not know what I'm doing. I might not be able to handle such a large load of dealing with a football team of 120, 125 guys.
Right.
But personally, I know that I can. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to simply work a lot harder to prove that.
Right.
But I'm okay with it, because kind of to answer your question again, the piggyback, it's going to take someone like me to work really hard and get there in order to pave the way for someone else.
Bridge builder.
So once I'm there, once I have a seat at the table, I'm going to be able to open up so that other women can have seats at the table. And other women will be able to get hired and do what I'm doing because I made it there.
That's important. When you set that precedent, you become a bridge builder. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you've ever read the poem, but at the end of it, it says...
Great poem.
Yeah, it's a wonderful poem. But at the end of the poem, he says, the old man, there's an old, I don't feel like reciting it, I'm not on. Basically, old man is, basically, old man is building a bridge, and everybody's asking him why, since he won't pass through this way again. And he continues to reiterate that it's not for him, it's for the youth who's coming behind him, so they can cross with ease, since he had to go through such hardships. Ooh. So,
that's a good,
a great poem.
That makes a lot of sense. Because it does take someone to get there in order to help other people get across. And a good thing about our industry, for other Black women trying to get into it, there's so many women who are already there who are willing to help. It's just simply reaching out, simply being vulnerable, connecting with other women, letting them know what you want to do, have a plan, know exactly where you want to go, and then find somebody who looks like you that's in it. And they will be able to help you more than you think.
Right.
They really want to advocate. They want to see other people at the table. So just, it only takes you simply reaching out in order for that to happen.
Okay.
So make sure y'all find mentors. Mentors are very important.
And yes, also, essential.
If you're in a position to help somebody out, find a mentee. Find somebody you can bring up behind you so they can do the same for the next person.
Yes, that's so important. because if it wasn't for mentors and people helping me, I wouldn't be here.
Right.
So that's essential for everyone trying to get in, especially for people of color to try to get in. That's essential.
Pay it forward.
Exactly.
Okay. So I had a thought. I don't know if this has happened to you yet, but I think it's safe to say, especially in the Black community, again, we're mostly at these institutions, it's safe to say that the majority of the athletes are Black. Have you had any mm-hmm. conversations with any of your students regarding them wanting to go Greek or something like that? And how does that go? Because I know there are some staffs around the country, like coaching staffs, that sort of try to discourage that. Then there are some that who are much more open to it. Like I know Nick Saban at Alabama, he loves it. He allows his boys to do whatever they want to do. But then Kirby Smart at Georgia, he's like adamant against it, and he's had conversations with players like discouraging them from it. So how does that go?
They also just speaking on what I've heard from, like Nico said before, just student athletes I've been friends with. There was actually the softball coach at Ball State a few years ago. She was telling her players not to join a fraternity, a sorority, kind of leave that out. Basically wasn't allowing them the space to take that opportunity. So if a player, like Nico was alluding to, so if a player was to come to you, Grace, with those concerns, what's some answer you would give them?
So one thing I would tell them, my students, typically is just, I haven't had a lot of situations like that. Mm-hmm. I'm fairly new, still trying to get used to all this, but I feel like that will be something that comes about one day. I would support what my students want to do. I feel like that is part of Black culture. It's part of your college experience. So I never want to discourage a student not to be a part of something that means something, especially because a lot of times someone's family member has been a part of the organization, so that's been inspiring them. Their brother, maybe cousin, somebody has inspired them to want to do that as well. So I never want to push it down and say don't do it. I just always want them to just be careful, plan precisely, and just make sure you're advocating for yourself. Use your voice. If that's something that's important to you, make that clear. Make it clear. If that's something that you really want to do, make that clear. Have a plan. No one can tear someone down when you have a plan in place, for the most part. If you have an adequate plan, no one can tell you, like, dang, I don't think you should do that, when everything is in order. So I always tell my kids, if you want something, be precise, be intentional, be purposeful. And most of the time, if you're able to present what you want to do, there shouldn't be you getting shut down, especially if it's not going to interfere with everything else you have going on. If you know a way to maneuver past it, why not go for something that means something to you?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's not going to affect your play or your academic responsibility. I personally don't see the issue with it myself.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's a great experience. It allows them to be closer to campus, because most of the time with athletics, sometimes there's a separation, but it allows the kind of connection to campus. I think it's a good opportunity and good experience. So I'm definitely will always encourage that if they can to do that.
Okay, so I have another question regarding, conversations with your students. I'm sure, I don't know if you could even talk about it, if it has happened, but what will you do, or what are you supposed to do, or what will you do personally when a student comes to you with some information regarding them maybe receiving impermissible benefits or something of that nature, or other schools violating some rules by reaching out because they may be in the they haven't entered the transfer portal yet, but they've voiced concerns to you, et cetera. Like, what's the type of conversation you'll have with your student athletes when they start, looking elsewhere, or they may be receiving some benefits they shouldn't, according to the NCAA at least?
Oh, you asking some questions.
And we need some answers. Like,
this is my thing. The most important thing that I always encourage my students, it doesn't matter what school, doesn't matter what sport, doesn't matter, do things the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Act with integrity, because it doesn't matter where you go and what you do in life, you need to do things the right way. Integrity is important. So if they do decide they want to leave, they do decide they want to do this, just make sure you're doing things the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Because yes, the NSAs, they have rules. Yes, schools have rules. Rules are there for a reason. Just do what you're supposed to do. Follow the rules. Even if sometimes things are not fair, sometimes we don't agree with things all the time, but as children of God, we have to act with integrity and do things right. And that's how I feel. That's always my stance. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be blank. I'm going to tell my kids that. And they know. Like, they already know. I will quote a Bible scripture too. Just follow
the... They're going to get the message.
The right way. I know. Act in integrity. And the thing is, everything will fall into place from there. If you're doing things the right way and you're talking to the right people, things will fall into place.
Okay. So do you think players should be getting paid or allowed to make money off their likeness, at least?
They did pass that rule.
Well,
now.
The name and likeness, that thing is, it's there.
It's going to take a couple years for them to iron it out, though, because the whole thing is going to be, you know, what makes, you know, what's the cap, if there's a cap, and then how do you determine how much one player, like, how do you weigh somebody like a Trevor Lawrence, how much he's worth or should be getting paid versus, you know, somebody who goes from, you know, walk on to scholarship, et cetera, et cetera. But what do you think about that? Is it past overdue, et cetera, et cetera?
I think with getting paid, that's complicated.
Right.
It's extremely complicated. And I'm saying that because I've worked with other sports outside of just the revenue generating ones. Mm-hmm. So it makes me think, what about those other student athletes?
See, the thing, but like the thing with that, NCAA actually asked Congress to kind of outline legislation around the likeness and also like things of that for the NCAA to follow. But then also you have to, they also, I think that what came with that, they approved the way basically like third party play. So like Trevor Lawrence could make money off of a podcast, or like he could make money off of an ad doing something for a shoot. So I think them allowing the third party to get involved is kind of the best way to go about it.
You think about the Power Five coaches, like they got together, the coaches association and like the ADs, they went over the head of the NCAA to ask Congress for legislation because they don't want to wait on it, because you know NCAA right. didn't approve it yet. So you're right.
No, I'm just saying. No, they approved that they could make, like, they can make money off their likeness. It just won't happen for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. But then I think a part of that was also the third party can get involved. And kind of what Grace was saying not too long ago about how it's complicated, especially with the schools with non-revenue generators. Like, you have golf.
Rugby. Hey, whoa. We're not going to bad talk.
Tennis.
Huh? I don't want to hear nothing about golf. It can generate the revenue.
Is Stop it a playing, revenue generator?
Depending on the school.
Is it a revenue? We're not.
Yes, it depends on.
We're
the
talking
school.
In a broad scheme here, because
depends on the school.
Yeah, I'm saying it's not broadly around new. Most schools don't. It's not a revenue generator.
Stop playing with golf.
So that's what I'm talking
Stop
about.
Stop playing with.
Anyways, so like them getting third parties, I think that would be more of a balancing act besides just letting the schools pay the player. Because obviously, what Grace was saying, it's hard. It'll be hard to pay a tennis player something what you're going to pay a Trevor Lawrence, for example. Even the best tennis player on your team is going to be hard to kind of gauge the cap and things of that nature. Mr. Nico.
I know is pay my rugby folks, man. Pay my rugby people.
Yeah, it's definitely going to take a lot of work, a lot of meetings, a lot of strategic things to figure out what's going to be best. But at least the name and likeness, that might be a step towards the right direction. I would say.
Oh, yeah. I'm all for them getting paid. Pay the players.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Oh, boy.
Take the money from the coaches and pay the players.
But my only question regarding paying players, God, it's like a tongue twister, becomes if a player's made enough two money words, in hey, that's two. That's strike two.
Two words. Talking about a tongue twister.
Oh, yeah, say, okay, right, hold on. Say it four times in a row fast.
Bro, good to your question.
That's what I thought. Yeah, it ain't that easy.
Pay players.
Becomes, how does this affect the new collective bargaining agreements in the professional leagues? Because if you got players who've been making money coming out of college, or, you know, basically out of high school, essentially, there's not going to be need to pay them so much in their regular contract because they'll be making some
money. Oh, yes, it is. What I got paid in college has nothing to do with this professional negotiation.
It definitely does. It definitely. I'm telling you, teams are going to use that as a negotiating tool. It's going to be like, you're already making so much off. They're going to be, I'm going to tell you why. They're going to be like, you're already making so much off the field. We can find somebody else of your caliber and pay them less. You know what I'm saying? Because they won't need as much because they're making so much off the field. And that'll also be a good bargaining tool for teams regarding undrafted free agents and stuff like that. You got to think about the direct impact on those who don't get
drafted. But you necessarily, the thing is, though, you necessarily can't, obviously, we're getting off topic. Let's get back to the interview and then we can talk about that later. Let's get back on topic.
All right.
So, obviously, like we said, this is all about Black women in sports, kind of just giving them a platform and just, you know, letting them speak their minds on some, what you can speak about, because, you know, some things you can't talk about because, you know, you're obviously an employee with University of Illinois. So kind of just, you can just take this time to kind of promote some foundations you're behind, some things you support, or kind of just a message you want to give to other Black women in sports, women that might be considering entering a sports related field. Like, this is kind of just a free opportunity for you to talk about what you want to talk about.
Okay. Well, I'll just say to all my Black women who are in sport now or are trying to get in, keep your head up, because each of us are going to pave the way for someone else. Whether it is in college athletics, whether it's in professional, whether it is international, whatever area in sport, we are going to continue to pave the way. And for my women who are in sport, continue to do what you're doing. A lot of women, Black women who are in sport, are mentors to other women, have started amazing organizations to encourage us women who are still trying to get up there and trying to make their way in. So continue to do that. And for my Black women who are still trying to get in, build connections, figure out exactly what you want to do, where you want to be, find somebody who is in there. There's always someone who is in what you want to do. Or if you can't find someone exactly in that area, someone close, reach out. You have no idea how many women, Black women, are so willing to be helpful, to be a helping hand, to be a mentor to you, to try to get you to get exactly where you want to be, help you throughout that journey. So just continue to stay encouraged, build those connections, keep your head up, stay prayerful. And I feel in a couple of years there's going to be a lot of major changes. You never know what might happen. We're already seeing it with the NFL, how you have a couple of women coaches, but I would love to see some Black women in there in NBA, NFL, or everywhere. So yeah, just stay encouraged, and I'm just honored to be on this podcast today. Thank you guys so much.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for giving us the time, the interest to interview you a second time. Like, we appreciate that. So just thanks for coming on and giving your insight. Anything else you want to say, Nico? Because I don't got no more questions.
If y'all disagree with what I was just saying, that paying players is indeed a tongue twister, I challenge you all to record it, shoot it to us, because I'm convinced it really is on, like, paying players playing. Dude, like, see, I already started getting mixed up. So
that's it. Two words.
We want to thank her so much for coming on our show again after, you know, what was a great recording the first time. This is important that we continue to highlight these powerful Black women in sports. And we're grateful for what you're doing. And we can't wait to continue to track your success and your path.
Thank you.
Big facts.
So much.
Big facts.
Thank you.
So with that, we're going to wrap up episode 5. Starting to lose count at this point. But yeah, that's the end of episode 5. Just stay on the look. We're going to continue this series for the foreseeable future. We don't really have like an end point or a deadline. So if you have anybody you want to nominate, you can email us at punchpod1@gmail.com. DM us on Instagram at One Punch Sports. And you can also send in a message on Twitter at Punch Podcast One.
Or just be bold and ask. You can add Punch Pod. You can add Vonnie at Just Vonnie. You can add me at Sports Connoisseur. Anybody or anybody who's been on the show already, you know what I'm saying? Just let them know. We'd love to have you on.
Right. So with that being said, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for the support. And we'll catch you guys next time.
Alrighty.
All right.
See you guys later.
See ya.